and we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. It is great to welcome back into our radio studios for WGTD's morning show, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, still with a smile on his face despite all of the busy, hectic things going on here at Gateway. You seem to be happy that way.
This is my favorite time of the year. You know, we've got graduation coming up. Students are finishing their projects, a lot of activity on campuses. And I always enjoy visiting the different campuses to talk with students about their experience here at Gateway, but especially this time of year because they're just so excited and they're so proud of what they've done. And rightfully so, they should be. And they can see the light at the end of the tunnel for many that are graduating in December. And for those that are graduating in the spring, you know, they get a little break now, so they got a couple weeks off. So.
A lot of reasons to smile, absolutely. One of your reasons to smile, it isn't every day that somebody gets to visit the White House.
yes, thank you for bringing that up. 2 weeks ago, I just want to recognize Kristen Nemec and Kate Walker, who had worked so hard over the last several months to help develop the Launch Box, and I think we've talked about that on the program before. That's our drop-in center for entrepreneurs, and it really focuses on innovation and supporting community members that are thinking about designing new products. And they received a grant, $50,000 from the Small Business Administration. There were 832 applicants for the funding. 50 were awarded, and Gateway Technical College under Kate and Kristen's leadership was one of those. And they were invited to the White House, so I had a chance to go along on that trip to hear about what was happening in Washington and the importance of entrepreneurship. And it was a celebration of Entrepreneurship Week, but also a recognition of those 50 entities. And we were the only two-year college in America that was funded. So I felt really proud at that. I didn't realize until I had gotten there, but it was really quite a prideful moment. And I think it celebrates kind of the history of Gateway and the communities we serve. You know, the Racine community with the companies that are founded there, and of course in Kenosha and Walworth County, the same, but that spirit of entrepreneurship, and now with 104 years of history at Gateway, we hope that we consider ourselves entrepreneurial as well, because it takes quite a new vision in order to stay viable in today's economy.
Well, wow, exciting. The visits go the other way. I know that you recently welcomed some students visiting all the way from Italy.
We did.
So Gateway's international footprint continues to widen.
You bet. I'll just give them a quick shout out because I know they're probably listening, and it was terrific. We had over 12 students from Italy visit, and there's been a history of exchange programs in our community with Italy. UW Parkside's been an avid supporter, and they've had an exchange program for many years, and I know we have sister city relationships, but it took a little bit of development time for Gateway to get involved, maybe because of the structure of our school systems, and so the two-year technical college model is a little different in other countries, but we were able to bridge that gap, and we had some terrific students here. We went to the Roma Lodge, which was a lot of fun, and the Italian Center in Milwaukee, and of course they had to do all the great tours of local companies and even Harley Davidson, as they always do. And anytime we have student visitors here, there's nothing like hitting the outlet malls and making sure they get their holiday shopping in. But I learn something from every group that visits. I learn a little bit more about their culture, their educational system, but then the importance of how they value education and the exchange programs that we offer really are to give our students and visiting students an opportunity to express and understand how education can make a difference in their personal lives, but also in their professional lives. So they really enjoy the focus that Gateway brings in the business and education partnerships. And that, to me, is really resonates well with our mission. And to be able to share that mission internationally, I think, is a great statement. We actually now have over 13 international programs in place at the college here. So when Italy's a great one, but a few weeks ago we had students from Germany here. We have students from China, and we have a group going to the Netherlands. We have a group that, of course, is going back to Germany this spring as well. So it's really quite a remarkable resource for our community.
Absolutely. And when I think back to what has changed here at Gateway over the more than quarter century that I've been here, this is probably the single facet that's the most dramatic, is that 25 years ago, for probably a lot of different reasons, Gateway and schools like Gateway just didn't think in international terms, hardly at all.
You know, and I would agree with you, Greg. I often remind our board and even our leadership team how impressed I am. And I'm right here every day watching it, but it's really amazing. I think it strikes to two things. One, certainly the importance of global competency for our students. They have to be able to compete at a global level. even if they're working, you know, right here in East Troy or Union Grove or Wilmot or, you know, Salem, or if they're in Racine or Kenosha or Elkhorn, the companies they're working for have an international footprint, and it's important that they understand how that whole system works. And then secondly, I think, the way that we communicate today, the way that technology has made a difference in learning environments, so the world is smaller. And we hope that our students understand that they have access to maybe resources they didn't have in the past. When I was growing up, maybe when you were growing up too, a trip to Milwaukee for me out of Fond du Lac, or a trip to Chicago from someone that lived in Kenosha, was a really big deal. And today it's a train ride, or, you know, you hop on the internet and you can go anywhere in the world that you want. So, you know, try to bring that world closer to our students so that they know how to access it, and try to ensure that the skills that we're providing in our education and training programs are something that's going to be able to be not only valued in our own community, but internationally.
Mm. I suspect that was one of the things that was talked about at the Wisconsin Economic Summit, which you recently visited in Milwaukee.
Yes, absolutely. So earlier this week, right, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce hosted an economic summit, and it was an offshoot of 16 listening sessions that were held around the state earlier this year. Gateway hosted one of those listening sessions. Over 2,500 people participated in all of those sessions to provide input. And at the economic summit, we had a chance to kind of define some categories of interest. One certainly is global competency. We talked a lot about that. Entrepreneurship was another one, so it fit right into our wheelhouse here. And we heard from a student entrepreneur at UW-Madison who is now doing a remarkable job with his company and is, I think, going to be quite successful in his product line. Then we heard from students from technical colleges and from private colleges on why Wisconsin is important and how do we attract new talent to our state. We talk a lot about the skills worker shortage. Part of the solution is training more people, but another part of that solution is we just need to bring more people in. Whether it's bringing students in from other countries or recruiting students from other states, and what are the attractions that make Wisconsin a unique geographic region, and a lot of that is stemmed on, you know, the job opportunities and good lifestyles, and we have great parks, and, you know, we have a lot of natural resources that people value very much, and trying to showcase that a little bit. So bringing the industry side, the international side, and the positive way of life that we have here all together and creating a strategic vision for our state.
Wonderful. I know that before we get rolling with the main topic of the day, I know you want to say a word about how impressed you are with many of Gateway students and the sort of charitable volunteerism which they're demonstrating in this season.
Greg, I am so proud of our students and our faculty and our staff as well, because every year they just go above and beyond what any one of us would ever expect them to do. In fact, this week Santa's on campus, and that's led by our students as well. And so we have movie night, and children get to come onto campus and make holiday gifts for their parents or their friends. And, you know, it's just a really great family environment, and it's all led by students. A couple of weeks ago, you may have heard we hosted the charity auction, which is where our interior design students take furniture, mostly chairs, but they repaint them and make them really ornate, and then they sell them at an auction, and people buy them for decorative items, but mostly they buy them because the money goes to a charitable cause in our community. And for our students to not only think about the skills that they're earning and their own personal goals, which would be graduation and get a job, you know, and those things, but to also think about others in our community and how they can leverage the skills that they're learning to help support others in our community. So I just want to give a great big thank you and my admiration to all of our students here at Gateway.
Absolutely. With very good reason, you are proud of them. So tell our listeners about the gentleman who is sitting with us today.
It kind of brings everything we talked about earlier in the opening together. And so I want to introduce Tom Bueller, director over at Butterbuds. And we talk about entrepreneurship, and the Butterbuds story is very entrepreneurial. You'll hear about that. We spoke about international footprint, and it's amazing how a company in your backyard has got the reach all over the world and where they draw their resources from. We talk about worker shortage, and that's where Tom and I first met. He serves on the Food and Beverage Council for the M7, the Milwaukee region. So there's so many of the elements about what's happening in our local community that happens in sort of microcosms in every business that we see up and down our streets. And so Tom has been just a great advocate and a great champion for student engagement and the empowerment of education and developing pathways, and has been a real champion for things like Schools of Hope and in Racine, and really trying to find ways to connect education with industry. And so I was very proud when we first met, because I had a chance to share with Tom a little bit about some of the partnerships that we have and is there a place for Butterbuds to become one of our partners. And he said, I absolutely think so. And so a few weeks ago, we celebrated the dedication of our new demonstration kitchen on the Racine campus, which, of course, is food-related. So mm-hmm. Butterbuds is a sponsor of that. And a week from now, I'm so excited because Tom's agreed to be our commencement speaker for our graduates and help share his story, his family story, and leave a few closing thoughts, I think, for folks as they go out into the world of work.
Oh, so terrific.
To Tom.
Well, Brian, I think that's 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks,
I'm
right.
I need every day to polish up that speech.
I know.
Don't rush
ready
it.
Yet.
That's right. Well, this will be a good...
You scared me for a minute.
That's right. Well, this will give you a good running start. It's great to have you here. And by the way, before I forget, I know a number of people who are involved in Schools of Hope. What a great program that is. So just say a quick word about that and why it's important to you.
Schools of Hope is a program run by the Racine County United Way, and it's based on similar programs that are started around the country. And what the research shows is that if a child is at grade level in reading by the end of grade 3, they have a much higher chance of being successful for the rest of their academic career, much higher chance of graduating from high school and going on and being successful. So that's the goal of Schools of Hope. We recruit tutors that work with first, second, and third graders for 1 hour a week on reading, and they have shown to have a very strong impact on helping these kids get caught up to grade level in reading.
We've had some volunteers and the coordinator of the program on the morning show to talk about that, and I know 9 or 10 different people who are volunteers, and who it's one of the most powerful experiences and joyous experiences of their lives to be part of this. So.
I can speak firsthand about that. I'm in my third year of being a tutor, and it really is a wonderful experience. So if anyone feels like they're wanting to help young people, this is a great way to do it.
Mm. Great. Well, we are so glad to have you here, and now it's time for you to say a word about, first of all, where you come from originally, and then a little bit about the origins of your wonderful company.
Sure. Well, I'm a fifth-generation Racinian, and so my family has pretty deep roots here in the community. So I grew up here and went away for college at the University of Wisconsin. And then worked for a time with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and got a wonderful experience there in being assigned to Bangkok, Thailand. So I lived in Bangkok for 3 years, and the mission there was to promote U.S. food and agricultural products, as well as kind of monitor and keep track of the agricultural production of Thailand. And Bangkok, Thailand is a very, very different situation, very different atmosphere than what I was used to, and it was a great learning experience in terms of understanding a very different culture. And it's also a very wonderful culture, very warm people, very artistic. So I was very lucky to get that assignment. And also, it taught me about the challenges of getting products exported from one country to the next. Because I was helping U.S. exporters get their products into Thailand. Well, around when it was time to leave Thailand, my father had started this business, Butterbuds, a manufacturer of food flavorings and ingredients. And he said, you know, I think there's really an opportunity for international exporting of these products. You really should come back and do that. And so, of course, I weighed out the positives and negatives of, you know, coming from the glamour of first Washington, D.C., and then Bangkok, Thailand, and moving back to Racine. But I decided that, you know, that would be a good opportunity. And so that's what I did. And I led the international effort at Butterbuds for 18 years. And my dad was right. Products were in demand overseas. So now we have distributors in 40 markets around the world, pretty much every continent of the world. And the Butterbuds exports comprise about 35% of our total sales.
Wow.
I just I'm always amazed at the family stories that happen right here in our home community. And, you know, Greg, you know this, but our listeners might not know. We try to celebrate that with our commencement speakers. We really try to draw in local local professionals who have done it. They've grown up here. They went to school here. And now they're serving a world market. And it's really, really inspiring to hear how all of that comes together. And so, Tom, your leadership in our community is immeasurable because not only, you know, we talk about literacy programs for early education and schools of hope, but your experience level bringing that to a new light to say here's why it's important, because in the world that we're all going to live and hopefully work in, you know, all of those new opportunities that come to you come as a result of hard work. And so you've took the risk, you went away, and then you came back, and now you're able to share that with all of us that live here. So that's a great credit to you.
It sure is. Well, and you took the risk of coming back home, too, in a sense, too. I mean, something which on the surface didn't seem like it might be all that exciting an opportunity, or might have felt on some levels like kind of a retreat. And instead, it was you were forging into something quite exciting. And
yes, it worked out well for me, and I'm encouraging all the young people out there that have moved away to come on back. And it's a great place to raise a family, and it's a lot of opportunities.
So your father created the company Butter Buttons?
Yes, he was an executive with S.C. Johnson's and was very involved in new products back in the heyday of products like Glade and Raid and Off. He was very instrumental in those. And they asked him to look at product diversification opportunities. And so in the process of doing that, he learned about research being done at the University of Wisconsin in their School of Dairy Science, where they were producing a super concentrated form of butter. And my dad became very intrigued about this, and he went up to meet the professor who was in charge, and he tells a story about before they could warn him, he took a big spoonful of this stuff and put it in his mouth and had to run over to the sink and spit it out. So even though it was a bit of a negative first introduction, he became fascinated with this idea, and he convinced Johnson's to buy the rights from the University of Wisconsin. And so for the next 2 years or so, the scientists at Johnson's who are used to developing floor wax were now working on this butter concentrate. And but shortly thereafter, the company decided it was really too much of a stretch for them to get into food products.
Yeah, from so, bug spray to food products.
Yeah, you know, it's all in the supermarket, but in a very different aisle. So,
yeah.
So they were dropping it, and my dad decided he wanted to take it and run with it himself. And so he told my mother it would take him 2 years to get it on the market. Well, it actually ended up taking 12. So he was just a bit off. And, you know, there must be something kind of crazy about entrepreneurs when you think about this, because he had six children. He had two of them in college already, four that he was hopefully, you know, going to put through college. He had this great job at Johnson's Wax, and he leaves it to take this concentrated butter thing. And to tell you the truth, we all thought he was a bit crazy. My brothers and sisters and I were the original taste test panel for this product. And every time he'd bring home another bag of this stuff, we'd all hide under the table hoping he wouldn't see us. But no, you're going to eat this now. Yeah. It's better this time. And, you know, it really was really terrible at first. And then after a while, it was like, oh, not so bad. And then after, you know, more trial and error, it actually started tasting like butter. And so, as I said, it took about 12 years to get all the bugs out. And now he had this product. And now now he realizes, well, you know, I don't really have the money to put a product on the market in the United States, to put a retail product coast to coast. It's millions of dollars. So he starts looking for partners. And Morton Salt was very interested in Kraft Foods. You know, they signed different kinds of agreements. But then time would lapse, and meanwhile, he's got these six kids and the rent to pay. And so, but then he finds a business in Brooklyn, New York, Cumberland Packing Corporation. They make Sweet and Low and other sweetener products. And they thought this was a perfect match for them, that, you know, they had the low-calorie sugar. Now they're going to have this butter. Well, I never explained the concept, so let me explain. So butter buds, for the consumer, the benefit is that you're getting natural butter taste with virtually no fat, calories, or cholesterol. So it's a very healthy way of getting butter in your food. And so this was a natural for Cumberland with their sweet and low. And so they said, look, we want to buy butter buds, and we want to do the retail portion of it. And we know you like having your own business. You can do anything other than retail. So whatever else, you know, whatever other avenues are out there for butter buds, you will continue making the product, and you and your family can take those avenues. And so, you know, this gave the product the resources that it needed, and it was then launched and continues to be in most supermarkets in America. And also gave my dad the opportunity to be the entrepreneur that he wanted to be.
You know, I think that's just the classic entrepreneurship story, and I think it reminds me of everything that we talked about at the Economic Summit, what we saw in Washington with the Launch Box and the SBA initiatives, and kind of the spirit of entrepreneurship. And I think about your dad and those difficult challenges of trying to decide whether or not pursuing that dream is worth the risk of, you know, maybe not being able to send all of his kids to college at some point, and what a passion he must have had in order to sustain that over time, and what a remarkable story. And it's come full circle now where you're able to share that with others and encourage other young people to become entrepreneurs in the food and beverage industry or any industry that they would like to. And wow, I just think it's really remarkable. It is the perfect scenario for Gateway.
It really is. You could almost make a movie about
right.
it. I mean, right down to the everybody, including the kids, thinking he's nuts.
Table,
yeah, right, and hiding under the table. Yeah, that's absolutely great. What do you feel like the most important lessons are that you learned from your father about leadership, about achieving success? I mean, and what was it about him that allowed him to do this? Because a lot of other people would have never taken the plunge in the first place or not had the perseverance to stick with it for 12 long years.
He was a very stubborn guy. but persistence was a hallmark for him. And I think it's, you know, once you have a dream, just really believe in it and push and push and push until the dream comes true.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I want to make sure I ask this. You talk about those years where this product needed to be improved and refined. I don't think you were speaking literally when you said getting the bugs out, but figuratively, certainly that had to happen.
Right.
Now, was that your father? And did he have like a lab in the basement? Or, I mean, where and how did that process happen?
Well, one of his skills was finding resources to help him with this process because he was trained as a lawyer. He joined SEJ as a patent attorney and then migrated into the new product development area. Mm. But he was really more of a marketing guy. He was not a chemist or a scientist. But he would find labs and contract out those kinds of resources. Another big push was so you start out with this butter in a concentrated paste form. Now you have to make it into powder. So the idea would be that people would, you know, be able to spoon it over their food. And so there's called a process called spray drying. Well, that involves some very expensive equipment. It's a very delicate process. So he would find these companies that would have a little spare time on their spray dryer and, okay, you know, we'll give it a try. And I remember the stories of, you know, the stuff coming out like golf balls and not the sort of thing you want to sprinkle on your food.
Yeah, right.
So that was another big hurdle that had to be taken. And so part of being an entrepreneur is being able to muster those resources that are beyond your immediate ability, but they're out there.
Yeah, you know, I think when I think about it, in the context of what we're trying to do at Gateway and inspire students to become entrepreneurs, and the challenges that Tom, that your dad faced, and that the company is trying to pull resources from a variety of areas, and why is it so important to Gateway? Well, at Gateway, we offer support services for young entrepreneurs. We have the Growth Wheel Initiative that is led by Kate Walker, and we do training on entrepreneurship. You know, we have a collective bank of resources, consultants, if you will. Like folks like your dad would have been one to say, you know, I'm a patent expert. I can help launch some of these companies. Facilities, the launch box, which is the drop-in center I mentioned. But, you know, even over at iMet, prototyping equipment so that we can develop sample products. We don't have an incubator kitchen yet, but I know that there are some communities that actually have incubator kitchens for folks that are into the food industry in Milwaukee area. Technical College is working on that more aggressively right now. So it's really unique in the types of programs and services that we've been able to collectively put together here at Gateway to now help spur and maybe shorten that 12-year cycle that your dad had to go through to find the resources, to help identify venture capitalist investments, to do entrepreneurial upfront training on business strategies, and really to help design launches of new products. And you know, that's what our community in Southeast Wisconsin has been about for well over 100 years. And now finally we're getting to the stage where we're recognizing that as an actual learning experience. And so we're developing programs and services that help recognize that. And I think, you know, what I mentioned earlier about Kate and Kristen receiving recognition at the White House and the fact that we were the only two-year college in the nation to receive that recognition indicates that we're still on the front end. We're probably entrepreneurials ourselves here, and I hope as time goes forward in 10 years you'd see every two-year college having entrepreneurial experiences like are offered here at Gateway and maybe some of the other technical colleges in Wisconsin. And I also just want to draw the correlation to the partnership with the university. When we spoke this week at the Economic Summit, there was a lot of discussion around all of the research that's done at universities and how do you take that research and put it into actual product. That's exactly what your dad did to launch ButterBuds, and now you connect that with the power of the technical experts in the two-year college system, and you can really shorten that growth and development time, which goes back to how innovative we all must be to compete on a global scale.
Yeah.
So to stay competitive in Racine and Kenosha and Walworth County, we better shorten our entrepreneurial time frame, pull the resources together where we can to make folks like your dad and like Tom here have access to those resources in a much shorter time frame so they can keep staying innovative and develop new products, because I know that you're constantly developing new product ideas.
That's true.
And I suppose what's really important about your dad's story, too, is if your dad managed to do this in a time and place when virtually none of these resources were easily or readily available, I mean, your dad had to kind of forge his own way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a sense, not that it should be done carelessly or recklessly, but on the other hand, it isn't nearly so daunting a process now as it was for your father.
Perhaps,
so,
yeah, it might be true.
I mean, in the sense of all of these things that can be readily accessed, that your dad had to really find some innovative ways
to go it alone.
Yeah, in many respects. Mm-hmm. President Albrecht, I know that Gateway has a close relationship with a number of different family-owned companies, and clearly there is something that is very special about that and makes for a good match, a good relationship somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're hearing it today, and I hope our listeners are able to capture sort of the excitement and engagement that we have with Tom and his family over at ButterBuds. But I think you're right. I think of folks like Guy Bradshaw, who is the Business of the Year for the Kenosha area, great Gateway graduate, went on to work for Snap-on, started his own business, and now very successful, brought his family into that as well. And so his kids now are able to reap the benefits of his hard work, and they'll carry that legacy forward. You know, you think of large companies like SC Johnson, family-owned company, still is, and very involved in the community and have made major commitments to the growth of our region, the growth of our community. One of our big partners, Snap-on, family-owned company in Kenosha, and it's been just remarkable in their commitment to education, not only here but across the nation. And we're just so fortunate to have that family spirit around in our community that understands the value of education. And like Tom mentioned, he grew up here, so he knows what the schools are like, and he's giving back by serving on boards like the Schools of Hope. And that's pretty rare. I mean, it's hard to find that. And that's what inspires me so much about living here and being a part of Gateway, because we like to think that Gateway is also a community. Our students are our parents in most cases. You know, the average age is 30-plus years old. So they've gone to school here. They live here. They work here. they're bettering their lives by going back to school, and so Gateway can provide some opportunity windows for them, and we try to treat them like family, and that's why I recognize the students for their community support and their volunteerism, because without each other, you know, what do we have? And I think the lessons learned here on entrepreneurship around it's the collectiveness of bringing a community together to bring those resources to be able to allow a company to be successful, and then to keep that value system strong and give back the way that Tom and the team at Butterbuds is doing is remarkable. And I would just share that Tom's a great employer, hires Gateway graduates. When I was there, I met some nice graduates that were from Gateway right from the beginning.
Excellent.
Yep, it's a good resource.
For those of you just joining us, today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and we are so happy to have also in the studios today Tom Bueller, director of business development with Butterbuds. Tom Bueller, I'm supposed to pose this statement to you and have you react to it, and it's a really intriguing statement indeed. Not everyone is destined to be an entrepreneur, but everyone can develop an entrepreneurial spirit. In what way do you think that's true?
Well, I think it's true in that maybe you're not born with some of the persistence and let's say some of the maybe a little bit lack of total rational thinking that that an entrepreneur needs, but you can develop that. And I think it comes down to, as I said earlier, really having a true belief in an idea for a product or a service that you've come up with. And, you know, if in your gut you really believe that this has got merit, then go for it. And as Brian said, these days there are resources at Gateway, at other places that, you know, you can take that seed, that kernel of an idea, and develop it and make sure that it has legs, make sure that it's got, you know, some feasibility, and go through the process to make your dream come true.
Mm. Well put.
Yeah, I agree completely. Entrepreneurship doesn't always have to be around, I'm going to start a business, I'm going to design a new product, and, you know, I'm going to be kind of that innovator and creates. It can be something very very small that happens every day, working better on a team, problem solving, finding a new solution to a challenge that might happen in the workplace. There's so many different avenues of entrepreneurship can happen in the nonprofit sector, right? So what's a new way to provide a better service? And I just saw this the other day, too. So the Salvation Army, it's Red Kettle time, of course, so we hear the bell ringers and so on. And they were struggling because there was no way to have people deposit via credit cards, right? Because there's no credit card application form or technology on the bucket. So they created an app, of course, and so now you can do that. You can just, you know, go online, get on the app, and you can deposit that way. And it's, you know, it's an entrepreneur thought of that. It didn't have to be, you know, so it's that everyday thinking about how can I make life better for others and what can I do to improve the process or the people that I'm working with. And so I always find that, you know, if you redefine entrepreneurship around problem solving and how we can collectively generate resources to solve that problem.
Mm. And I know, President Albrecht, that you've already talked about what Gateway specifically offers to would-be entrepreneurs to help support their dreams. And that also goes further in terms of Gateway being involved in other organizations that also exist for the same purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every one of our programs inspires and hopefully encourages young people to be entrepreneurs. So whether you're in cosmetology and they're developing a client base, so if you are, if you ever have come to Gateway to have your haircut or your nails done, those students are learning a skill for the profession they're going into, but they're also developing a client base. So they may work for someone, but ultimately they may be their own entrepreneur and start their own business. Many of them do. If you're in automotive, for example, we have once a month our customer service care experience where clients bring cars in and our students have to, you know, service those cars and provide the consultation with those folks, and that helps them with their communication skills and certainly their technical skills, but ultimately it also inspires them to maybe I could run my own shop someday, right? And so no matter what area that we're delivering, we always talk about that entrepreneurial spirit. And we have organizations. We have an entrepreneurs club that meets monthly on campus. A lot of our instructors have outside experiences that come into it. I know engineering, for example, they have a ham radio club, so they're networking with all kinds of different venues. Some of it happens to be related to the content, others maybe other areas. We're involved in efforts like merit badge programs for boys and girls, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, of course, youth programs and camps around STEM education, science and technology, you know, with the Boys and Girls Club. And then, of course, our regular programs. We've got entrepreneurship degrees. You can actually get a degree in entrepreneurship, marketing programs, business programs. And then collectively what we would call maybe our capstone experience at the college called Biz Squad, which is where students from separate disciplines all come together to form a team, almost like a business team, and they provide services to small businesses and help entrepreneurs in our area get their companies off the ground or maybe solidify them a little bit better in the community. And as students, they get firsthand experience in some of the challenges and struggles and what it takes to actually put a business plan together and have something that's going to be beneficial for our community. So lots of different areas if folks are interested in entrepreneurship, from traditional programming, experiences within those programs, to specialty programs like Growth Wheel or Biz Squad.
Tom Buehler, earlier it was mentioned that you've been part of the Food and Beverage Council. It's one of those organizations that really helps support the particular business that the industry that Butterbuds is part of. Tell our listeners a little bit more about the Fab Council and the value maybe that it's been for you and for your company and what it's meant for you to be part of it.
Sure. Excuse me. Yeah, FAB is what is called a cluster network, and we're learning is that different regions of the country have different inherent strengths, and by recognizing those strengths and creating a cluster, it gets even better and stronger. So studies have been done on southeastern Wisconsin, and two of our strengths are, one is freshwater, and another is the food and beverage industry. So if you look at southeastern Wisconsin compared to the rest of the United States, we have one of the highest levels of food and beverage manufacturing and productivity going on in this country. So Fab Wisconsin is there to bring attention to that, to promote that industry, to make it more prominent. And along with that, it is designed to speed innovation, to support innovation, just much like Brian was talking about work going on here at Gateway. Fab Council is putting the word out to people that have an idea for a new pickled sauce or whatever it is, there are these incubator kitchens that you can use to develop it to the next level, and then we can set you up with co-packers that can help you put it in a package, and we can set you up with retailers that will put it on the shelf. So the whole innovation of food and beverage in southeastern Wisconsin is another big area. And then the third area is career development. So we want kids from as early as elementary school to be aware that food manufacturing is an industry, that it's a big part of what goes on around here, that there are some very interesting jobs that are available. And we have aligned ourselves with Vincent High School in Milwaukee, which is a mostly inner city kind of urban high school that kids there didn't know a lot about the food industry, but the administration there has decided to make food and agriculture part of the curriculum. So when they go into a science class, they're learning about food science and what does it mean to do different kinds of processes with food. So Vincent High School is learning that there are jobs in the food industry that they could start thinking about and then go off to technical college or a four-year university to qualify themselves for those kinds of jobs. So it's an organization that can help others. But it ultimately accrues to our own benefit, because the more we can build up this industry in Wisconsin and the more we can create a pipeline of career talent coming into the industry, the better it is for us and the more successful we can be.
I think Tom raises some really good points, and it's a great organization. Gateway is a member of the Food and Beverage Council, and oftentimes when we think about the food industry, you know, just naturally we think about, oh, it must be restaurants, right? And so there's a lot of restaurants in the area. Well, that's a part of it, but you know, when I think about it now, after being a part of the Fab Network and really understanding it, you know, it's companies like Butterbuds, the ingredients, Carry Foods, O&H Bakery, Ocean Spray are all members of the Fab Council in our region here. And so they're all committed to the industry, which is how do you produce all of the products and distribute all the products that are necessary to have a restaurant or to buy food at a grocery store. And our region is really strong in those areas. And I just want to recognize one small success story. Aaron Cole, who's a Gateway graduate and spoke at the hospitality and showcase that we held a couple of weeks ago in Milwaukee. And he specializes in cheesecakes. So he went through the culinary program and the bakery program, and he has his own business now. So he's an entrepreneur, and he's selling cheesecakes. And now he's back taking some business courses to fully develop his business model with all of that. And so it's one small example of how a student coming into a program might not have thought of themselves as the entrepreneur, but after you develop all those networks of resources and figure out how to put that puzzle together and then have the skill sets to, in this case, make a cheesecake, that is absolutely remarkable, by the way. I would encourage everyone to go and check out Aaron Cole's cheesecake company there. But so it's an example of what we can do to inspire young people in all of our communities.
Going after that then, Tom Buehler, what kind of difference does a place like Gateway or a place like MATC make in the success of your own company? What kind of role, if any, does a school like Gateway play?
Well, Greg, as you can imagine, the success of our company is based on having good employees. And so the higher caliber of employee that we can hire, the more successful we're going to be. Butterbuds has needs in a wide variety of areas, whether it be sales, marketing, administration. On the more technical side, we have quality assurance people, we have food scientists, we have applications lab people. And so we need talent. We need people that have got background and a knowledge of the science and the marketing of food ingredients. And Gateway and places like MATC can be very helpful in preparing people to fill those kinds of positions.
And is it that Butterbuds is continuing to refine and improve what it already produces, or are you still in the business of developing still more products to bring to market?
Well, you know, it started out as one little Butterbud, and now we have 85 products. We've got butter products, cream, yogurt. We've got many kinds of cheese varieties, 25 different kinds of cheese products. So we're constantly developing. We've also ventured out into a few non-dairy areas. We've got a cocoa butter buds, and we have even a dried beer extract. So that's a great Wisconsin kind of product. So we're constantly innovating, and I think that's a mantra for anyone in business these days, is there's this hunger for, you know, show me something new, give me something new, help us to expand, helping the customer to expand what they are capable of doing. That's really our role.
And President Albrecht, you must be so grateful that there's a company like Butterbuds right in our backyard and that Gateway's been able to connect with them in such a powerful way.
Absolutely. Most people think about Gateway as, you know, so job training, and that's critical. I mean, that's our core mission, make sure that our students have skills to get a job. And Tom mentioned so all the different variations of jobs that every company has available. So, you know, whether you're thinking about food products or whether you're thinking about, you know, our manufacturing program, you still need accounts, you still need business administration, you still need sales, you need marketing. And so there's a cross-section of the types of roles that our students will play when they leave Gateway and go into companies. But there's another reason that the partnerships are so important and why I'm so grateful. And we heard about it today, and that is helping us understand the bigger picture of the industry and how does the industry what needs does the industry have in order to survive? That cluster idea, collaboration between industry and education, collaboration between educational partners, whether at the K-12 level, at the university level, or between technical colleges, to help us understand, you know, the changes that are taking place with innovation. What are some of the new technologies, some of the new processes that are being put in place that maybe we don't have access to every day here at Gateway? Serving on our advisory committees, providing that guidance and feedback on keeping our programs current, and then expanding programs. So, you know, food and beverage might be the first time that some of us heard that term, right? Mm. So we've got to make sure that we're constantly watching and seeing how things change. And the food industry itself, it changes so rapidly. It's almost like the IT world, because regulations change it, you know, product lines change it, people's own desires and tastes change it, demographics change it. A lot of things play into how that particular industry stays viable. And then, of course, in today's world, we hear a lot about big distribution networks, so companies like UNFI or Gordon Foods, and so that's mass marketing of food. But ultimately, that's a different product packaging structure. That's a different distribution structure and refrigeration structure. And so there are many different components of what we already do at Gateway that can fit into the food industry. And if we're not aware of how that fits, we may not be exposing our students to career paths in that industry. So our job is to talk to students in our diesel program about refrigeration distribution, to talk to students in our manufacturing programs about packaging in the food industry. And so you have to keep your eyes wide open. And Tom brings that to us. And, you know, I'm so excited to be able to highlight his role and what he's done in our community and then the industry in general at our graduation in 2 weeks.
Speaking of that, we want to just get a little sneak preview, maybe. I'm sure it's a exciting honor for you to be asked to speak at this upcoming graduation
it
talk.
Is.
Any sense of what you are likely to talk about at graduation?
Yeah, I've at least been thinking about it and put a few thoughts to paper. And one of the themes is that this is really a great time to be entering the workforce in Wisconsin. With the economy bouncing back, I've got some figures from our Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. And according to them, there will be an increase of 217,000 jobs in Wisconsin from 2012 to 2022. There will be a total of 950,000 job openings during that period. And 236,000 of those will be new jobs. So the baby boomers, like probably I think the three of us in this room, will finally start to retire. And there's going to be great opportunities, and as I said, 950,000 job openings in that 10-year period. Interestingly, there could be 40,000 more job openings if we had enough people to fill the jobs. This kind of blows my mind, that the state economy would generate 40,000 more jobs, but we just don't have the demographics or the population or maybe the right training to fill all those jobs. So it's not really a question these days of, you know, am I going to be able to get a job? It's a question of if you prepare yourself correctly, you will definitely get a job. And so whereas until now workers have chased jobs, we're in an era when business is now chasing talent. But business also has a higher caliber and a higher standard that it has set. So business can't take somebody who doesn't read well, who doesn't be able to work a computer. If I think about the operators on the floor of Butterbuds, they're working with computers all the time. Our processing control is computerized. They need to feel very comfortable interfacing with that. So I'm not saying that you can just drop out of high school and get a job, but if you go through the proper steps to be trained in the key critical skills that employers need these days, it's really a great time. So that's one of the themes of my talk.
Well, that should put a few smiles on people's faces.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Commencement is always that highlight of everyone's experience in education, whether it's at an early age at K-12 or at the college level. And it's a way to celebrate and recognize all of the hard work that they put into to preparing and to hear those messages about opportunity. I mean, that's really going to be encouraging for our students. And I just want to take this opportunity while I can, too, to let all of our listeners know that if you're interested in gaining some experience in entrepreneurship or any of the programs that we talked about today or any of the career paths that Tom mentioned in the food industry, registration is open. So Gateway is now taking applications for our spring term, and we're excited to be able to share the new programs that are being offered here at Gateway. And actually two of our programs are quite unique, a SharePoint software program, which is fully funded through a grant. It's free for anyone that wants to take that program. And then also a